Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program for you today. Our speaker, Jeff Coulter, is an associate pastor with Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, Ask Big from a Big God, already in progress.
Okay, I'll tell a story of myself. True story. I decided I needed to spend time alone with the Lord. And so I put a tent and a sleeping bag in my car, drove off to a campground out in the mountains, was going to spend the day with the Lord. And I was all excited about spending the day with the Lord. And I got out there and realized I didn't know what to say. And I spent, you know, a half an hour, and I just was like, you know, I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't know what to do now. So I thought I'll do a prayer walk, which means basically you're walking and then every now and then you think about saying maybe a small prayer. And I realized that I did not know the Lord as well as I thought I did, because prayer is communication. It's a conversation with our Father in heaven. This gentleman here on the front row, what's your name?
George.
George looks like a great guy, but I don't know George. And if you put me in the same room with George, talk with him all day, I'm sure I'd find some stuff to talk with him about. But it might be awkward because I don't know him real well. Now, the more that I get to know him, we could probably spend, you know, a weekend fishing together. But prayer is communication, conversation with the Lord. And sometimes prayer is a good indication of just where you're at in your relationship with the Lord. Sometimes it can be a meter to show us where we're at. The disciples said, teach us how to pray. And we talk a lot here about reading your Bible, studying your Bible, and that's good. Absolutely crucial. If the average person increased their Bible reading by 10 times, statistically, it would still be less than an hour a week. So we need to read our Bible a lot more. But I'm going to upset the apple cart just for a second. Reading the Bible is not the goal. Reading your Bible is a means to an end. It's not the end in itself. So what's the end? Some people would say it's knowing more Bible stories, knowing more promises, knowing about Jesus, knowing the stories, knowing what he did. But reading the Bible is to know him, not to know about him. And so much of the time reading our Bible is done checking boxes. All right, I should spend 15 minutes a day, so I'm going to do it. What time is it? Okay, click. We set our little stopwatch, as it were, and we read our 15 minutes and feel like we've done something. Many people read their Bible as if they're still eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And some of you won't know what I'm talking about maybe when I say that, but in the Garden of Eden, God gives two trees and he says, well, all kinds of trees, but two of them specifically that he lists are the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the knowledge of good and evil is what we still, as humans, would gravitate toward. Okay, just tell me what to do. If I can just learn the rules, I can figure this out. I can do this. Just give me a yellow pad. I can draw it out. Pros and cons, I can figure this out. I. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is religion. It's about just tell me what to do and what not to do. And as long as I have enough knowledge, I'll be okay. And God told them, don't eat from that tree. That's not a good tree. You eat from that tree, you're going to be stuck with that the rest of your life. And they were. God says, I want you to eat from the tree of life. Tree of life represents relationship. And some people will ask the question, okay, so you tell me how much I should read my Bible. What's an adequate amount that I should read my Bible? 10 hours eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is never going to give you what 10 minutes will eating from the tree of life. And if you're reading your Bible to check boxes or to do your religious duty, you're never going to meet the one who wrote it. First church that I was ever a part of planting in San Diego, California. Church was small, so I was working outside for income. And somebody told me that there was a guy that worked at the place where I was working at that had 2 doctorate degrees in theology. So I was like, awesome, this is going to be a great place to work. I'm thrilled. You know, so who is this guy? Where is he at? I want to meet him. Come to find out, true story, the guy didn't even believe in God, and he had two doctorate degrees, PhDs in theology. Jesus himself had conflicts with the Pharisees over and over and over, many of whom had their entire Bible memorized. More than half of what we've got is a Bible. The entire Old Testament, they literally had it word for word memorized, many of the Pharisees. Had to get to the place that they climbed the religious ladder. How could you have the entire Old Testament memorized and not know the one who wrote it? Because you're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're checking boxes. You're doing your religious duty. You're still all about, okay, I just need to know. I can figure this thing out. The Pharisees knew well how to use the Word of God as a sword against people, but they didn't know how to receive it as food for themselves. They didn't know how to receive it as life for themselves, as healing for themselves. It's possible to know the words and not know the Word. Something happened to me a few years ago, which was wonderful. I began to read my Bible like it was a window. And I said, Lord, I'm going to look through this and see who you are. And I literally would look as if I was looking through it to see the Lord. Why did you do that, Lord? Why did you say it that way? There's times where the Lord says things that just stand out to me as really interesting. I'll give you just an example. Jesus is hanging out with people who are in need of help. The Bible says that he's hanging out with people who are drunks and tax collectors and prostitutes. And the Pharisees, so, you know, we would never do that. You know, we're above that kind of thing. And here's Jesus' response. The sick are the ones that need a doctor. I didn't come to call the healthy. I came to call the sick. And that's one of those times where I literally pick up my Bible, say, Lord, why did you say that? What it sounded like you said to that Pharisee is, you're healthy, you don't need me. He's talking to the Pharisee. He says, those that are sick, these people around me need help, not those that are well. I came for the sick people. I can hear the Pharisee saying, that's right, at least you recognize. You know, at least you could see that I'm holier than the rest of these guys. And that wasn't what Jesus was saying at all, was it? Jesus is saying, I came for those who realize that they're sick. And when you realize you're sick, then the doctor's ready to jump in. And as long as you, like this Pharisee, think that you're better than and you got everything together, then you'll never get it. You'll never get healed. But he makes statements like that that you say, wait a minute, why did you put it like that, Lord? It's almost like you veiled the truth that only those who were looking for it would get it. Jesus, a carpenter, one of his famous sermons, he gets out and begins to tell a story about farming. Okay? Why? A farmer goes out and, you know, when he throws seeds, sometimes it lands in good places and sometimes it doesn't. They're saying, yeah, you know, we're kind of a farming community here, Jesus, and we kind of knew that already. You know, sometimes it lands in good places and sometimes it lands in bad. Thanks, though, for giving a shot at sharing farming secrets with us. We appreciate that. And I believe that there was people who said, okay, there's got to be something more to this. A carpenter talking about farming. What's he saying? Okay, there's got to be some like truth in this, hidden truth in this. And the disciples, for one, went to Jesus later in this story, said to Jesus, okay, tell us the hidden truth. We know there's some hidden truth there. Tell us what's going on with that story. And Jesus said, I veil the truth so that only those basically that are looking for it are going to find it. He quotes from Isaiah and says, some people's eyes are blinded and their ears are stopped up and they're not going to hear. He did it on purpose so that those who are hungry would uncover the truth, would find it, and then it would mean something to them. But you don't get that from checking boxes or reading the words. You get that from saying, Lord, why did you do it that way? Why did you say it like that, Lord? It's too easy sometimes to read our Bible and our brain not be tuned in, not be checked in. You guys remember in the Old Testament the story about Moses? He goes up on the mountain, spends 40 days with God. God says, hey, go back down and deal with your people. He goes back down, goes back up for another 40 days. The Bible says that God, Exodus 33:11, that God spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Okay, now here's an interesting question. Did Moses ever read the Bible? Do you think Moses had a little devotional, read a little inspirational phrase every morning to jumpstart his conversation with God? I'm not knocking devotionals. But sometimes we use crutches. We don't end up getting to know the one who wrote the book. The Bible says that Abraham was called the friend of God. Did Abraham ever read a Bible? No. For those of you that don't know, no, he did not. He was around before the Bible. To this day in China, there are underground churches that they have a page of the Bible is all that they have, and the pastor will read from that page every week. The individual people don't have it. Are they less of Christians? Throughout history, most of the common man did not have access to a Bible. Were there no Christians during that time period? I'm not knocking our Bible reading at all. Again, we need to do more of it. But so much of the time, it's easy to check a box and feel like we did our duty, and we don't ever actually have a conversation with and get to know the one who wrote it. Let's read another verse here. John 5, verse 19. Also in the NLT is wonderful, John 5, 19. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also." How did he know what the Father was doing? He talked to him. Every morning when he got up before light, every time when he's praying way after dark, he's finding out from his Father, what are you doing? Who are you touching? Because when he got up in the morning and prayed, his Father said, "This is what I'm doing today." And Jesus said, "Okay."
You have been listening to Jeff Coulter of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Ask Big from a Big God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.